BlogTalkRadio.com.
I'm not a bad guy. I'm not a good guy. I'm the guy.
Wild Talk Radio presents to you the Monday Night Raw post show.
This is Monday Night Raw. The bus is taking over.
Featuring Sir Rockin.
If I were to apply to you now on this concrete, a perfectly executed inside cradle, commonly known as a small package, how long do you think it would take you to escape?
You would never escape a perfectly executed small package. 99% of the time, a small package would apply expertly by an expert wrestler like myself always works.
And Lindsay Ward.
We're scared. I mean, I would be too. You're looking at the baddest diva in the WWE. You're going to find out why I am the boss.
Interact with us live and give us your thoughts on everything that happens on Monday Night Raw. Now step into the ring with us for the Raw Post Show.
Do you see this? This is the Kevin Owens Show!
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Raw Post Show live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network, presented as always by Gerwick.net and Wrestling Figure Photography. Follow the journey today at Instagram.com/MBG1211. Oh, what a show. What a show Monday Night Raw was. I'm Sir Rockin, joined as always by Lindsay Ward.
Oh, this was an interesting show. Mainly for the last hour, but this was an interesting show.
Was that first hour? Oh, except for the opening segment was a, yeah, that was a thing.
That was a thing. That was a difficult thing, but it was a thing.
That was the first. Yeah, that. All right, let's talk into the main thing we really enjoyed from this episode of Monday Night Raw, and that was Seth Rollins coming to the ring, being interviewed by Corey Graves, and Seth Rollins trying to give his heartfelt emotional responses.
Which doesn't work, because we all know Seth Rollins is a dick. Anyway, continue, I'm sorry.
So he's coming out there and just pouring his heart out. Like, he's so upset that, you know, he's asked about his rehab, it's intense, and it is what it is, if it's recovering, and he's, you know, feeling sad for himself, like, did he bring this on himself, like, he sacrificed everything, but was it all worth it? He sold out to the authority, and was it really, really worth it? And
the answer to that question is no, and the reason why you got what you deserved is because, well, you betrayed your family, you betrayed your brothers, and that is unforgivable, Seth. This is called karma. Deal with it.
Right, and he really thought he brought this on himself. He brought up how the rebuild, redesign, and reclaim catchphrase was about him being better. And somewhere along the line, he lost sight of that. Graves said that Hunter and Joe said, you're not going to be at WrestleMania. And Rollins was asked, are you going to be there? And he's like, I don't know. And it's like, I don't think the doctors will clear me in time for WrestleMania. Cue Triple H. With the biggest grin on his face. He said he knows the fans won't believe it, but because they think he's heartless, but it's good to see you, Seth. Oh, and you know, Joe, right? As Samoa just pops up.
Out of nowhere.
Hunter said the answer is that Rollins will not be WrestleMania. Hunter said if Rollins is what's good for him, he won't be there regardless of what anyone tells him. Hunter asked if he was just coming to the realization that he deserves it. Hunter said Rollins knew what he was getting from the start. I made you the man. He said that he made him the champion. He said he shoved it in. Hunter said Rollins shoved it in everyone's face and told him he was the man. Hunter said that he did for Rollins and that Rollins hit his hand. He bit the hand that feeds him. Hunter said he basically, you know, ate him up and spit him out. Triple H told Rollins directly that he used him up, spit him out, and basically told everyone, to get over it. He said Rollins profited along the way. I used to tell the world, whole world, that you were the future, but now you're just the past. He called him washed up, just another beat up superstar, and told him to salvage whatever was left. Told him Seth Rollins should not come to WrestleMania and call him out. He said he is done playing with Rollins and warned him, don't show up. Hunter swore that if Rollins were to show up and call him out, it would be the last thing he would ever do in a ring. Then Seth Rollins mans up and goes, Hunter, I will be at WrestleMania. And if it's the last thing I ever do, then I swear to you, you'll be the last thing you ever do. That was cool.
I didn't like the first half of this just because Seth does not do humble well, because you have him sitting there and you go have him going, well, you know, I mean, you were there, and we all know that's not Seth Rollins. Like, I get what he was going for. I understand the intent, where he's trying to basically be humble, be a little bit down, be a little bit depressed, but it's like, it just, to me, it came off as stalling more than it came off as humility, because you're just sitting there and he and Graves are sort of screwing around on the interview. Graves isn't really asking a lot of hard questions. He's just like, you know, it's two buddies kind of having this really awkward conversation, and you could tell they were just kind of stalling and waiting for Hunter to get his cue to come out, which once Hunter came out, everything picked up, because obviously Hunter and Seth then drove the conversation, with Hunter being just the fantastic jerk that he is. I love heel Hunter. I love him so much.
The Triple H movement was in full effect. He was amazing tonight. He can be a real jerk, a real dick, whenever he wants to be, and he clearly loves it.
Because he's good at it.
He is good at it. This is why he doesn't...
He knows he's good at it, too. Like, that's the thing. There ain't no question on that one. He's like, yep, I'm a jerk. Yep, deal with it.
So what they did tonight was they set up WrestleMania. But they didn't set up a match. They've set up at least a fight. Because... just in case, he really can't be cleared fully for a match. I like this. I like that it's set, it's official. You're not putting any expectations on either guy to have a 20-minute wrestling match at WrestleMania. You're going there with the expectation of, here's a fight.
I want to address something in chat room.
Yeah, I was going to get there.
Yeah. Matt, I disagree with that with this being a spot for DDP, simply because this wasn't meant to be comedy. This was meant to set it for WrestleMania. I would say if it was like 2 weeks out from Mania, I would agree, yeah, this is a spot to have DDP show up and motivate Seth. But that's really not what this was for. This was to have Seth appear. It's the first time he's shown up since he got injured again, and he's coming out and basically giving this pseudo update on his condition and saying, well, I may not be at Mania, I may be at Mania. And then you have Hunter come out and taunt him, where it's like, oh, ha ha ha, look at you, you're still hurt, you're not going to be there, you can't follow through on your threat, and then I'm going to leave again and I'm going to vanish and you're not going to be able to get to me, kind of thing. So it's Hunter basically going, nanny nanny boo boo, you can't get me. It's that kind of thing. So it's like, DDP would work.
No, he wouldn't. I'm going to flat out say, no, he wouldn't work.
No, I'm saying if you want to do the comedy spot later on, it would work. Like, Seth's down, he's depressed, and DDP comes out and helps him, but it's like, for this, for what this needed to be, DDP was not going to work.
Tim chimes in, if they clear Seth Rollins, have DDP come out before WrestleMania, the Raw before WrestleMania. I don't understand why DDP has... I don't get why DDP's involved in any way or shape or form, but that's just me.
Because he's the motivational speaker, so it's like, for what he does for everybody, where he brings them back and he cheers them up and everything like that. And I would say if that's what this was about, where basically Seth has lost his smile, then yeah, 100% agree with that, but this isn't about Seth losing his smile. This is about Seth taking out Triple H, because he's pissed at Triple H for Triple H abandoning him after his knee got hurt the first time. The story is Seth and Triple H. It's not Seth and DDP or Hunter and DDP. It doesn't really involve DDP in any way, shape, or form, and to bring him in just because he's going into the Hall of Fame, to me, that's just a little cheap.
So, I will say this. Let's play out the scenario. WWE brings in DDP, puts him involved as, you know, he's the guy who helps out wrestlers, right? That's what that's his deal. He's the ultimate motivator. We'll play that as a scenario. If WWE was booking this, you would have him come out. He would motivate Seth Rollins to come out and be ready for WrestleMania. And you want it to be positive on page, but in WWE booking would be Triple H pedigrees him in the middle of the ring. That's how that would go. Just saying. Matt, you gotta explain more what you're pitching, basically. This is what I'm taking from what you're saying. So if we're not getting what you mean, write it out long form. Or was I on what you were doing? I don't know. Anyway, I don't think it would work anyhow. That's just me.
Yeah, I mean, that's not the story they're telling. Like, I get what you're saying, and I think in another scenario it could work, but in this one, I don't think it does.
Matt, send me an email so I know what you're talking about. I'll read it Thursday. Cool.
Yeah, we can get into this more Thursday, but yeah. This was, aside from the stalling, this was a really, really good segment. It was a really nice setup for Mania, where they gave a non-definitive answer on Rollins. It's like, he may be there, he may not. We have a plan B for the match. It's like, they can have a confrontation, they can fight with each other, and we don't have to necessarily worry about fully clearing Rollins. If Rollins isn't fully cleared, he can't get in the ring in any way, shape, or form. They don't have to do it. Or you have somebody else beat up Triple H, a.k.a. Finn Balor.
A.k.a. Finn Balor. In other things that happened on Monday Night Raw, New Day took on the Shining Stars. Oh, wait. They were told the wrong information. A stagehand came out. Here's a card that says, they're real opponents, Jinder Mahal and Rusev. Ha ha. Har har he he.
You all knew that they were going to go for that, right? We all knew it.
Hardy har har. New Day pops. New Day pops coming at WrestleMania. New Day beat Jinder Mahal and Rusev. Mahal and Rusev seem to be breaking up.
Shocker.
In 205 on Raw, Akira Tozawa defeated Noam Dar with Alicia Fox. No real shock.
After the match, Brian Kendrick attacked. Brian, honey, that jacket and those pants are a no. We need to talk about your fashion choices.
He hopes that Tozawa is learning lessons, because that's what he's teaching him. He's teaching him lessons. So the
Just saying the feud continues. It was minorly creepy. Beyond minorly, it was really creepy.
It was minorly creepy. In other 205 live action, it was TJ Perkins and Jack Gallagher taking on Neville and Tony Nese, and Neville stopped leaving your matches.
He's leaving your matches. It's costing more points.
Stop leaving your goddamn matches, Neville. I need
keep leaving your matches, Neville.
I like my points. Stop leaving. Gallagher
cast him all the points.
Gallagher and Perkins won via submission.
Cost him everything.
So the Shining Stars had to fight Big Show. Why?
Reasons.
I don't know why.
Reasons.
Sheamus took on Titus O'Neil. Why?
Because Sheamus wanted to kick somebody in the face.
Because he wanted to make WWE green again? I don't know. Titus beat on Sheamus before the match. Sheamus then said, all right, I can fight. Bro quick. 1, 2, 3.
Points!
That was a thing. Luke Gallows beat Big Cass beat Luke Gallows, I should say, in a quick little match they had leading to Sunday. Before that, Enzo was talking a lot of smack in the locker room where, like, Cass is like, what are you doing, boy? What are you doing? Like, easy, big fella. Easy. I think Enzo's mouth is going to cost them Sunday. Just call it a hunch. And then in stuff I'm really getting tired of, Stephanie just talking down to Foley.
Wasn't just Steph.
I'm going to get to that. But first, it's Stephanie talking down to Foley. Last week, she basically put a hit out on him. It is basically what happened. She talked down to him, like, in a way, oh yeah, I'm apologizing, but you're just more pathetic as you continue to get older and older and older. Then Samoa Joe talked down to Foley, and he goes, what's wrong, Mick? Not having a nice day? Foley spoke about being Joe's biggest fan at one point, but now he's Triple H's puppet, which is the second time that was brought up to Joe tonight. Cesaro brought that up as well. Foley asked Joe what Joe would call it. Joe said no one tells him what to do. Foley said he would tell him what to do as long as he's still general manager, and he booked Cesaro and Joe later in the show. I did like the early confrontation between Joe, Cesaro, and Sheamus, though. I'm all for that.
I'm 100% for Joe, Cesaro, and Sheamus, especially with Sheamus getting all protective of his man. Like, he really wants to kick Joe's head off for insulting Cesaro. Like, really wants to do it. It was so cute.
I like the internet point bringing up, like, Cesaro can always said he can always handle Joe. Internet brought up that he's always lost to Joe.
Bless the internet.
Which included tonight when Samoa Joe beat Cesaro.
In a great match.
In a really, really good match they had. Give them 20 minutes, they would tear the house down.
Also, points!
So Charlie Caruso was interviewing Samoa Joe, and he said, Cesaro's a world-renowned wrestler, seasoned veteran, and freak athlete, but he's not me. He said, Cesaro's a reminder to everyone in the back that it doesn't matter who you are, what you've accomplished, or that people leave you. And then he was going to say something about being the destroyer, and then Sami Zayn came out, and they brawled, and they're having a match Sunday. It's confirmed.
Because Sami is tired of Joe's crap. He's been there for 2 weeks, and Sami is tired of Joe's crap. I love it.
Monday Night Raw opened up with Goldberg coming to the ring, talking about what he'll do at Sunday, which is a spear, a jackhammer, and a 1-2-3, becoming champion. Kevin Owens came out for his live tweet session. Owens said he made himself a promise when he came to WWE, he'd grab the company by the throat and make them see what he's all about. He talked about beating John Cena, Dean Ambrose, and AJ Styles. You know, SmackDown.
Minus Bray Wyatt.
Because he's never fought Bray. In all in all situation. Owens said he beat Seth Rollins and Roman Reigns. Owens said he wasn't going to bring up what he did to Chris Jericho because it doesn't matter. He said no matter how much the fans chant Goldberg's name, Goldberg is next. Not in the cute way, but he's just saying, Bill Goldberg, you're next in the evolution of Kevin Owens as Universal Champion. Goldberg continues to clap. He said it was a moving speech. He said it was entertaining, yet it pissed him off. He asked, why wait till Sunday? And I guess that means a start fight. And Owens is like, okay, we'll have a Green Bay street fight. And he goes, wait, Green Bay? They don't deserve to fight, see me fight. Owens said they would fight on Sunday. He would stand over him still, Universal Champion. Owens said, Goldberg Chance will die on Sunday. I thought this was really good.
I thought this was really great, too. The fact that Owens is owning Goldberg. Nice.
Because he's going to get... But Goldberg's going to own Owens on Sunday.
Oh, yeah, totally. But you're using Kevin Owens' greatest skill, which is his promo skills.
Mm-hmm.
In this, which is what you need to do. Where you're just having Kevin play that cocky heel. That untouchable, cocky heel who thinks nobody's gonna hurt him, nobody's gonna get him. And boy, isn't he in for a surprise on Sunday.
That he is. So the former WWE Women's Champion, Charlotte, came to the ring. She thought Bayley was gonna do the right thing last week, but she revealed what a selfish person she really is. Charlotte, in her two-toned hair, said she's known this all along. She said Bayley should have won an Academy Award, but Bayley said Bayley can't help it because she's normal and average like the fans are. She said Bayley didn't care that Sasha Banks cheated. It was good enough for just Bayley, but it's not good enough for her. Charlotte said Bayley is just a one-hit wonder, and then she ran through a bunch of one-hit wonders like Brett Favre and Twilight. Bayley came out, said, there she is. She said, here she is. What's your name? Oh, right. I'm Bayley, the champion. This one-hit wonder has defeated you three times. She added that she knew... knows that she made the right decision to keep the title last week and then point at the sign because dreams do come true and she always changes the dream. And this next one is to walk into WrestleMania as the Raw Women's Champion. Charlotte said she's tired of hearing about Bayley's dream. She said she was going to buy Bayley's father a front row ticket so she could watch her crush Bayley's dreams. Sasha came out, told Charlotte that Bayley is everything she wishes she was and everything the fans want. She said Bayley is more deserving of the championship than Charlotte will ever be. Sasha ended up saying she didn't know why they were still talking because, you know, they're scheduled for a match. Charlotte said, all right, you're right, but it won't be with Dana Brooke. It'll be with Nia Jax. So you had Nia Jax and Charlotte taking on Bayley and Sasha Banks. Thoughts on the promo first?
Promo was good. I liked the promo. Charlotte, Sasha, and Bayley always do well together. And you can't go wrong with that.
Charlotte needs to get her hair fixed.
Mm-hmm.
That was unmatching hair. It was really, really bad. And her hands weren't tan either.
Yeah, Charlotte was kind of a bit of a mess tonight. Like, I couldn't tell if they were doing an ombre thing with her hair, but then it's like you looked at her hands, and I couldn't tell if she had them, like, curled under or what the deal was, but it's like right at her knuckles, like from her knuckles down was her natural skin tone, and then from, like, knuckles up was the spray tan that she had gotten put on. So it's like, I don't know what happened with that. Don't know what was going on, but it was really noticeable. She's a little bit of a hot mess tonight.
By the way, Nia Jax beat the women's champion again.
Really, as it should be? I mean, Nia Jax, they're building her as this monster. She should be beating up everybody, including Bayley.
It is setting the stage for WrestleMania, and maybe Sunday. Speaking of Sunday, as Sasha Banks and Bayley were recovering backstage with ice on their necks, Stephanie informed Sasha Banks that she'll be fighting Nia Jax at Fastlane.
Sasha's like, oh, goody! Not really.
And then we had the main event segment. Mick Foley was in the ring. He sort of was talking, then Strowman interrupted. Foley said he may not be general manager for long, but Strowman will respect him. Strowman said he would respect him once as an opponent, but Stephanie's right, he is a shell of his former self. Foley said he's tired of being talked down to. You will respect me as a legend. Or else. Comment?
Can we stop making stuff about Mick Foley?
Roman Reigns came to the ring. They brawled around the ringside. They brawled around the entire ring through the crowd. Then it was like they're fighting by all the technical equipment. We're like, they will kill you if you break it. Don't break the equipment. So instead, they broke a security guard and a barricade.
That security guard had a family, damn it.
So Strowman got speared through by Roman Reigns. Roman Reigns gets back in the ring. He looks at the contract because this was a contract signing. Because Strowman wanted Roman's name on a piece of paper. Because he didn't want Roman to walk away. Strowman gets back up. He asks if that's all Roman had. So Roman and Strowman fight. Roman goes for another Superman punch. Strowman then tosses Roman Reigns into the ring post. It explodes because of the force. He leaves. Roman's down. Roman crawls on his knees, picks up the contract, and he signs it. I like the final angle.
I like the final angle. I like the ring breaking. It made Braun look like a boss. I like them fighting around the arena, taking out the barricade. They both looked really, really strong. The only thing I really didn't care for in this was Foley. And I understand that, you know, it's like eventually you have Foley stand up for himself and it's like enough is enough because they were literally cutting him off at the balls the entire night. But it's like part of this feels like, you know, oh, well, you know, we're trying to get Braun Strowman over, but we're really going to make this about McFoley and get McFoley over too.
When you don't need to get him over.
When you don't need to get him over. It's like, yes, you've been cutting him off at the balls all night and yes, you need to have him, you know, stand up for himself or snap. Like, that's one thing, but this just felt like, you know, they were purposely putting McFoley over all night long by putting him down.
I can't wait for Samoa Joe to just somehow take the hit and get rid of him.
And I really like McFoley. I just, it's like...
It's enough.
It's enough. I'm tired of storyline, like, him having storylines kind of revolve around him or involve him to this degree. Because they did it with Sasha and Charlotte, where it revolved around Foley, because they were doing Hell in a Cell. And that was really annoying, that it's like, it should be about Sasha and Charlotte. It should have been about them doing the first women's Hell in a Cell, but it ended up being about Mick Foley somehow. So it's like, he's there, he's the general manager, he should be respected, he should have the right to yell at his employees, he should be able to do all the things that he normally does, it's just, it's like, he shouldn't be involved in storylines to the point that they're putting him over.
Back to the closing segment for a second, and a comment from Tim was like, they're now selling this as a big ass fight. The mark in him says, bring this one on. And he believes it could be a major fight. I hope so.
I would agree with that. I mean, if you book it as a fight, not as a wrestling match, I think it could actually be really entertaining, because you just have these two dudes beating the crap out of each other. I think if they try to do a wrestling match, it's going to be Snooze City.
Yeah, if you start doing a wrestling match, and you're dead. It's dead in the water after 2 minutes. We all know this. So they fight, and they brawl around the ring like they did tonight. You could get something decent out of it. I would make this match a no DQ match. Honestly.
I mean, them going through the arena and them fighting each other, especially around the production stuff, which, you know, they're all standing there going, don't touch anything. I thought that was really well done. And I'd kind of like to see that between Roman and Braun.
Make it a fight. And that's what you need. These two should not have a wrestling match for 10 minutes. That would be the death of the pay-per-view.
Yeah, make it a fight.
Make it an absolute fight. But that'll do it for the Raw Post Show, live right here on the Wild Talk Radio Network. Tomorrow night, 11:30 p.m. Eastern, it's another edition of WTR Sims. In our main event, The Intern battles the Canadian for the CB Radio title. Tune in, twitch.tv/rackradioshow, 11:30 p.m. Eastern.
Wait, he got it back?
The Intern never lost the belt. He's defending his belt.
I thought he lost it.
No, he gained the belt. He hasn't lost it yet.
Keyword. Oh, right. He beat Jobber for it. Right.
Got it.
It's like, wait, when did he lose it?
He didn't lose it. He beat Jobber for the belt. Yeah.
I can't keep up with this crap.
But everyone else can at twitch.tv/rockradioshow or on demand at youtube.com/rockradioshow. Thursday night, though, it's The Rack.
That's right. Tune in. We are going to be talking all things WWE Fastlane. And, well, we'll be talking about NXT as well. We'll have news. We'll have notes. SmackDown Throwdown. And all your favorites. It's The Rack. Thursday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here on WildTalkRadio.com.
So I was experimenting earlier. And maybe I'll debut The Intern's new outfit. The Doink the Clown suit.
Maybe. Kiki.
Maybe. We'll see. Tune in to twitch.tv/rockradioshow. Saturday Night Midnight Ish is another edition of CB Radio. The Weird, the Wacky, the Unusual, the Greater Than Great Debate, Batman vs. Superman, and beyond. CB Radio, Saturday Night's Midnight Ish. CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and.com. Hashtag Blame Rob when the celebrity dies. Sunday Night's Wrestle Talk Radio with Tim Stein, Heartbreak Mike, and the Omega. at 11 p.m. Eastern, recapping everything that goes down on WWE FastLane. We'll be back next Monday night for Raw Push 11, 10 p.m. Eastern, talking all the fallout from FastLane. You follow me on Twitter at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter at Linsward, LNSWRD, and go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/Linsward, same as the Twitters.
Hey, intern, it could be the chicken suit.
Oh, you should totally do the chicken suit. And guys, I will try to be at it tomorrow if I'm awake, but I generally fall asleep, I think, when you do it, so I don't know, maybe.
Maybe we'll do it earlier then, maybe? I don't know.
We can see.
We'll see how it goes. Anyway, pay attention to the Facebooks and Twitters. We'll be back next Monday night for the Raw Push, 11, 10 p.m. Eastern. And we'll see you Thursday night for the Rack, right here along the airways on the Wild Talk Radio Network, right here at wildtalkradio.com.
The king is here. Now feel your fear. The king of kings. All hail the king. On your knees for the king. King of kings. There is only one.
WildTalkRadio.com.